Thank you. That's very good. Any others?
I just wanted to emphasize what the brother said. I really appreciated the last point that you said, something like holiness attracts those that are fit for it and repels those who are not. And I was just thinking about that, how we mentioned Isaiah, how he felt. He was running around saying, woe, woe, woe to everybody else. But when he all of a sudden realized, when he saw he was in the presence of God, he said, woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And he realized that he's not fit to be standing right there. And if he could, he'd run away. But the angel comes and puts the coal on his lips and says, you know, don't worry, this has touched your lips and your sin's been expiated, or whatever the word is there. But I really appreciated that. And I think back to the fact that positionally we are holy, but practically, you know, are we? And the Lord Jesus has made us holy. He's the one that's done that. But I guess I ask myself, am I really appreciating that? The fact that He's given me access to God, and do I care to make it so that when I approach, I can lift up holy hands? Or do I take that for granted? Am I like Nadab and Abihu saying, okay, I've been designated a priest and I could just come right in, so I'll just bring strange fire, you know? I think it's a challenging thought.
Can I also add that today, you know, what we're talking about here is not popular. I don't think this is popular at all. In fact, the culture in which we live is totally against a holy life and a holy character. And this is what you and I have to be faced with every single moment in our throughout the day. Pick up a newspaper, if you look at the television, look on the internet, it's all promoting, or not all, but much of it can promote unholiness. So really, this is not popular, but it's important.
Oftentimes the phrase, we've probably heard it or used it, that sometimes the phrase is used, holier than thou. He thinks he's holier than thou. You know, you've heard that phrase, right? And connected with that is the phrase of, well, he's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. And I don't believe that phrase for a minute. I know what we mean by that, but if we're truly heavenly minded, and we have the mind of Christ, and this is Tuesday's lesson, but if we have the mind of Christ, then we are going to be earthly good. And I wonder if we could just switch gears now, for the last few minutes that we have together, just switch gears a little bit and take this thought of holiness that we've been enjoying, and now look at the life of the Lord Jesus. Can we think of any place in Scripture where He is called holy? Let's begin there, and then we're going to look at some incidences in His life. But let's begin. Are there any places where the Lord Jesus, that you can recall, is called holy?
The angel would appear and say, that holy thing that should be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God.
That is where?
Luke chapter 1.
All right. Verse 35.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
Another one in John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. This is the words of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.
Well.
Say it again.
Mark 1:24.
Okay.
I read it. Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you not come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.
Very good.
Acts chapter 4.
Okay.
Verse 27. When Peter and John, I think, when they heal the lame man, I think that's that part, and then they get beaten for it, and the assembly gets together and they pray, and they quote Psalm 2 and verse 25, and then in verse 27 it says, "For in truth, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the nations and peoples of Israel have gathered together in this city to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel had determined before should come to pass." I think King James has the holy child. Mm-hmm. And Dobby has holy servant.
In the previous chapter of Acts, in chapter 3, also in verse 14, says, "You have denied the Holy One and the just," and so forth. And so I just want us to get a sense of the fact that, and this is very important, because there are some who would teach that Jesus is not God. There are some that would teach that He's not the eternal Son of God. And when we think of this, and you think of what holiness means, holiness, coming back to our definition, it means to be cut above everything else. It means to be transcendent, that He's high above every, separated from everything else, everyone else. That's the character in the life of the Lord Jesus, and He is called, we've looked at four different places where He's called that Holy One by different ones, not only by people, but also even by demons, right? And so it's just emphasizing the fact that the Lord Jesus Himself is indeed holy. And then we come back to that verse. It's a mystery that God was manifested in the flesh. Any other thoughts at this point? Okay, can you, real quickly, can we think of any passages of Scripture that emphasize the holiness of God in the life of the Lord Jesus, in His person, as He lived, as He moved? Can you think of any Scriptures that might emphasize that holiness?
"For such a high priest was dignified to be holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners."
Okay, good. Hebrews 7,
verse
26.
Very good.
Any other incidences in His life as He moved among people?